We've already taken a brief glance at the experiences of men and women who identify themselves in non-traditional gender categories. But in part two of the series, entitled Taking Off the Costume, we will hear from some individuals who are attempting to reconcile their biological sex with the gender they identify as. While the American Psychological Association says no comprehensive study has provided accurate estimates on the number of transgender people in the United States, according to a 2009 CBS News article, roughly 1,000 people in the U.S. undergo sexual reassignment surgery. But what about the rare instance of intersexuality? This was the experience of Angelina, a 40-year-old who was born with male and female genitalia. Angelina is tall, has dark, shoulder-length hair, and she greeted me with a smile, adorned with red lipstick when we met in Baltimore. She's soft-spoken and mild-mannered. She has a strong build and looks healthy, despite the fact that constant health problems plague her.
I have constant infections. A lot of times, you know, I'm not able to go to the bathroom correctly. And it's just completely painful. I mean, all the surgeries they did as a child, I mean, everything's completely painful. So, you know, even on a good day, I'm not able to function correctly.
The surgeries she refers to are reconstructive surgeries she underwent as a child, mostly in the South. Angelina said the surgeries rendered her a biological male, but she wishes the surgeons and her parents would have made a different decision.
I was assigned as male, but even back then, this is my early childhood, I mean, I knew that wasn't correct for me. Back then, the doctors liked to try to keep things hush-hush and quiet, and in their mind there was, is if we can try to fix it, then it's not an intersex condition.
She learned more details about her childhood surgeries only a few months ago, after she attended a transgender conference and started somewhat of an investigation, combing medical journals and birth records. Angelina said her current health problems leave her with almost no choice but to proceed with sexual reassignment surgery, as she said undergoing the surgery will remedy several of her health problems. The surgery can cost upwards of $25,000, and most insurance carriers don't provide coverage, which is Angelina's case. She also said difficulties finding a local provider to perform the surgery or provide treatment is yet another obstacle, one that Ali, a Delmarva resident, has also faced in his attempts to find a physician to provide hormone therapy treatment.
One of the stages, start taking estrogen and progesterone, and you also have to take an anti-androgen, which suppresses the testosterone. I could not get any endocrinologist or doctor in the entire state of Delaware to agree. And in fact, there was one office that I called. And I started explaining this what I wanted to do. They came to the phone and said, and I'm quoting, "I'm sorry, sir, but we are a reputable medical establishment. We do not prescribe medication for frivolous sexual purposes. Thank you." Click.
Sal Seeley, a program director for Camp Rehoboth, a Rehoboth Beach nonprofit that provides service to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender Delaware residents, says the area has an incredibly small transgender population, and the local medical resources simply aren't available to them.
But I think because of like endocrinologists or other primary physicians not really understanding transgender concerns, we refer a lot of folks up to the Mazzoni Center in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is where Angelina received resources to discover more about her past. While she is looking forward to sexual reassignment surgery, the three participants we met in part one of this series, Ali, Owen, and Mr. Mills, have decided not to proceed with surgery, but all three have used hormone therapy to alter their physical appearance. Mr. Mills, a trans male, began his hormone therapy in 2011, and on the same day that he suffered a personal loss, the death of his father. He said his mother has no idea about the hormones. They have only spoken a handful of times since 2006. Mills said the hormone therapy has lowered his voice, deflated his breast, thinned his hair, and altered his emotional state, which he told us in part one was often fragile.
I'm very much calmer, and it's scary sometimes because I'm not used to feeling so calm. And I haven't cried. You feel like you want to, but for some reason the tears don't fall.
Owen, who works for Equality Maryland as a field organizer for gender equality issues, said he decided to tell his parents that he was transitioning after he had already begun transitioning.
They came to visit for 5 years ago, actually for my 25th birthday, and I said, "I'm on hormones, I've already taken them, there's nothing you can do about it," in the middle of dinner. That's how I told them.
Allie, who did undergo hormone therapy treatment, said he first learned that one could change their gender as a child.
I was about 10 years old. We're in the grocery store. And my mom's, and we're in the checkout line, and there's one tabloid that had a picture of this really hot looking model, right? And then it said, she used to be a boy. And there was a little, and there was a little picture of that person when she was a kid, it was a little boy. And then, and I wanted so much to read that. And I was like, and I remember seeing something about, you know, surgery and this, that, and I just remember thinking, they can do that?
Allie said while he was drawn to the idea of altering his assigned gender, he has decided against trying to become something that he says he truly can't be.
I lived 34 years before I started really dealing with this. As I transitioned, even dressed to the nines, looking good, at least I thought I did, when I was around natal women, no matter what I did, I felt like a cubic zirconia among diamonds. It was like going from one costume to another. Ideally, I would want to simply be known as a woman. I would have to completely deny and erase everything that had made me who I am.
Allie says that his family, who still calls him his masculine birth name, is very supportive and does their best to try to understand him. But some people can't say that they have broad support from family. First Owen, then Angelina.
My brother doesn't speak to me.
I don't know what reasoning for it, but then I've kind of lost touch with my dad, and, he wouldn't even want to talk to me on the phone.
While Owen's parents, including his conservative Republican father, did express some concern initially, Owen said his parents have come around, and his sister is his biggest ally. Likewise, while Angelina does not have a relationship with her father and her mother has died, she said her extended family is very accepting of her identity. Acceptance from family is certainly helpful as transgender individuals start living full-time in their preferred gender role, which can lead to harassment, discrimination, and in some cases, violence. In the final part of this series, we will hear from trans men and women who have faced discrimination in multiple forms. We will also hear from LGBT advocates who say the time has come for Maryland and Delaware lawmakers to protect transgender residents. I'm Jamila Krempel.